This message is brought to you by the local Wisconsin group, Economic Equity Now. Should tens of thousands of our friends and neighbors in Wisconsin lose their health insurance so billionaires like Elon Musk can get a tax cut? Let Senator Johnson know what your values are and how he should vote on this bill. This message is brought to you by the local Wisconsin group, Economic Equity Now.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Well, my good friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee, and I hope all of your trails are happy. We'll talk again next hour with our morning show get-together, right here on WRCO-FM in Richland Center. The news at 9 is next and sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel launching more airstrikes over the weekend, killing scores of Palestinians and drawing international condemnation.
What we're seeing is increasingly Israel's allies being critical. 9 children, one devastating attack, killed in their home as one strike, and their mother, who's a pediatrician, was caring for people at a nearby hospital. The children ranging from just 7 months to 12 years old.
ABC's Ian Panel, Australia's Anthony Albanese calling Israel's blockade of food and medicine completely unacceptable. President Trump on social media saying he's not happy with Russian President Vladimir Putin after an overnight missile and drone strike in Ukraine that was described as the largest in the 3-year-old war. The ball now in the Senate's court in the marathon race to pass the budget bill that President Trump has been pushing for. 9 people arrested so far for helping some of the 10 inmates who escaped from a New Orleans jail elude capture. 5 of those men are still out. This is ABC News. On this Memorial Day, here's the story of a World War II veteran who will be laid to rest 81 years after he went to war. Army Air Force Lieutenant Thomas Kelly of Livermore, California, known to his family as Toby, deployed to Papua New Guinea back in March of 1944. But right after that, his plane went down.
His first cousin, Sandy, was 3 years old at the time. Growing up, she says it was too painful for the family to talk about Toby's death. But then came Memorial Day 2013 when Sandy's son decided to start a project.
A few hours of internet research that very quickly found information about the final mission.
Scott Offhouse is a professor at the University of Illinois who researches wartime communications. They found Toby's plane. It was 215 feet underwater. This past Friday, his body was finally returned home.
That's ABC's Allison Kosick. President Trump expected at Arlington soon for a wreath-laying ceremony. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Hoping everyone has a safe Memorial weekend with family and friends. Stop in at Pamela's, for emeralds are on sale and an awesome time for a graduation gift. At Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same, and that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center, a longtime favorite in Richland County. It remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and closed on Sundays. The Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or carry out at the Phoenix Center.
It's your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. You don't need 20% down to get into your dream home.
Today's high around 71 degrees. It'll be low down to around 50 tonight with a slight chance of late night showers. Tuesday, a 50% chance of showers. Up to a tenth of an inch of rain is possible and a high of 66. Wednesday, 62 with a 70% chance of rain. Also for Thursday, a slight chance of rain and 72 and 79 by Friday. South winds are currently around 1 to 2 miles per hour. After a low all the way down to 39 this morning, right now in the Wirtz floor and home thermometer, it reads 59 degrees.
Should tens of thousands of our friends and neighbors in Wisconsin lose their health insurance so billionaires like Elon Musk can get a tax cut? Representative Van Orden has already decided to kick our neighbors off Medicaid by voting for the Republican budget bill. These cuts to Medicaid will also be devastating to rural communities, with the loss of hospitals, clinics, and nursing homes. The decision now is in the hands of the Senate and Senator Ron Johnson. We need to ask him if he agrees with Representative Van Orden that sick Wisconsinites should give up their health care so millionaires and billionaires like him can get a tax cut. Providing health care to our sick neighbors, friends, and family on Medicaid is not waste, fraud, and abuse of our tax dollars. It is our tax dollars helping to care for those we care about. Let Senator Johnson know what your values are and how he should vote on this bill. President Trump calls this a big, beautiful bill. Instead, it is a big billionaire bonanza, handed to billionaires by stripping health care away from those of who need it. This message is brought to you by the local Wisconsin group, Economic Equity Now.
On this Memorial Day, we salute those who served and never came home. The courage that lives on in the heart of our nation. A message of remembrance from American Legion Post 433 and Utter Brothers Creamery, where freedom is always honored. The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. On the line with us on WRCO, Chairperson of the Board of Directors for Badger Honor Flight, Brian Ziegler. Brian, boy, it's been a really good season. It sounds like you recently had a really good Badger Honor Flight. I'm sure they all are good, but can you tell us what was special about the most recent one that you went on?
First of all, it was a very beautiful day in D.C. Sunny, the temperatures were great. Very warm reception, as always, for our veterans in D.C. at the airport and at our memorials. So it was a great day for our 87 veterans.
It sounds like from our immediate area, Southwest Wisconsin was pretty well represented, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And that's a great part. You know, we have an 11-county service area, and we want to serve more than what's just in the Madison area, but we have several counties that it's always great to get those veterans from out in those counties.
We have permission from Eileen Stevens, who's part of your administration, to give a couple shout-outs today, Richard Waslick and Dave Durst. And I understand that both gentlemen really enjoy themselves.
Yes, we had a lot of great stories from our veterans. We had once, as always, it's great when family members meet unexpectedly with a veteran. So usually it's the guardian that goes on the trip, that they have family members that live in the East Coast. They come down and surprise our veterans. And we had some of that again that May 10th flight.
What was the breakdown of the May 10th flight for the wars that were represented?
We had 4 Korea, Vietnam. We had 81 Vietnam era. We had 2 that served from Vietnam through the Gulf War. And then we had 1 that served from Vietnam through the war on terrorism.
Wow. Good representation, no doubt about it. And I know you have another one, Brian, coming up this weekend. What can you tell us about it?
Yes, that'll be our last flight of the spring season. And we are scheduled to be taking 89 veterans from the Vietnam, mainly the Vietnam era, on this flight as well.
And this is a special one, again, the last one kind of the season. And then does the new season begin, like fundraising and those kind of things after that? Or is that kind of a year-round thing?
Our fundraising and recruitment efforts are a year-round activity. What we're going to start doing as soon as we get done with the May 31st flight is that start making phone calls and planning for our three fall dates. And those will be announced very soon.
What are some of the things you do during the year in terms of bringing awareness and fundraising?
For those, we have folks, we have organizations that reach out to us and state that they would like to raise funds for us. The great one that's coming up this weekend is Kopke's Greenhouse out of Oregon, Wisconsin. They have a weekend-long activities. They sell food, and they also have flower pots that they sell on a weekend, and then on Sunday afternoon, they do an auction for us. And that has raised well over $10,000 each of the last 5 years. So that's somebody in the outside. We have, like I said, a lot of organizations that reach out to us. But on the veteran and volunteer recruitment efforts, we're getting out there, and we do public and speaking involvement. So if we're also looking to potentially get involved in some parades or at county fairs to have information boost. Once again, just to get the word out there about what an organization we are and what it means for our veterans, but also how for folks to get involved and to assist us to help these missions be very successful.
How long have you been a part of Badger Honor Flight, Brian?
I started back in 2009, and then I've been involved in a leadership role for most of that time. I did take a break right before COVID, and then I stepped back in a couple years ago. And it is such a great organization because of the volunteers who make it. And the volunteers work really hard to put on a very well-run. That's why we say it's a trip of a lifetime. We know the impact it has on our veterans and their families, but also the community. And it's just, we hear that. And the best part that I love about this job, one of the best parts, is going to the grocery store and you see a veteran that went on a flight like last fall and their spouse or their family's with them, and they just tell you, thank you very much for everything that you guys did. We never thought that so many people would be thinking of us so many years later.
I see that a lot of them have hats, swag. Do they get those kind of things when they go on the flight?
Yes, we give every one of our veterans a hat, a polo shirt, and a jacket, and then that's all what they wear on day of flight. However, we actually did have a veteran who still fit into his Class A's from his time in the service. That was very impressive to see that, you know, those still fit. But then when they come home, yeah, we give them photos from the flight. We give them photo album books and various other items that do vary by flight. And that's another great way for organizations to get involved. They wish to be part of that. They can reach out to us.
When you first started with Badger Honor Flight, Brian, I'm sure you saw more World War II veterans, didn't you?
Yes, yes. It was all World War II veterans at that time. And then when we started seeing a decrease in number of World War II veterans on our list, it was just a no-brainer choice for the board to carry that on through Korea and then obviously through Vietnam. And right now I foresee in a very foreseeable future that nationally we're going to start looking to recruit Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm veterans as well, as that memorial is scheduled to be open next year, probably late next year.
If someone is hearing this and maybe they served, or maybe it's a family member that is interested, what's the best way to go about getting on the list?
Best way is to, on our website, badgerhonorflight.org, we have an applications page. You can fill out an application there. It's electronic. If you so wish, you can also download a PDF copy. Or you may call us at at our phone number, and we'll mail you one out. Or if we have volunteers in that area, we'd be more than happy to come on out and help get your veteran signed up. And that's one of the great things is there's so many great volunteers in our organization that are willing to go the extra mile to help our men and women who served.
And then how does it work, Brian? Does a family member or someone go as a person that can ride with them, a chaperone or caregiver or whatever the case might be?
Yes. We at Badger Honor Flight practice a 1-to-1 veteran-to-guardian ratio while we're in D.C. And we allow every one of our veterans to choose their guardian of their choice, and they have to meet our requirements as stated on our website. And that's mainly the physical aspect, because there's to be a guardian not only for their veteran, but also for all veterans as we need. Everybody helps out up and down bus steps, helping wheelchairs around, pull coolers, whatever's needed. So, but also just to be there. So, and that we do charge a $500 fee to be a guardian. That is what helps pay for part of the flight. As you know, our trips are free for our veterans. But that's one of the great things is we learned early on after the very first flight, we had veterans who did not want to go with a stranger. And so we as a board back then decided that, you know what, let's ask our veterans if they were to choose their own guardian, would they still want to go with us? And we've had an overwhelming response, and we've had that model for 59 flights now.
If someone is listening and wants to be a part of this, is there a waiting list?
Yes, we have about a 600 veteran waiting list. So if you were to sign up today, you probably would fly with us in the fall of 2026.
So it's time to get going and get moving on that, isn't it?
It is, yes. And one thing I will also mention is that even though we're predominantly flying Vietnam-era veterans, if there's a veteran of any conflict or served during any time and their health is at a certain criticalness, they will go to the top of the list. And there's more information about to go about that on our website. And I would encourage that. We will work with to get them on our flight. And actually, I was just told about this last weekend. We work with our sister hubs across the state. As our flight is full for May, one of our veterans is going to be going with Stars and Stripes out of Milwaukee. And that's what's another great thing about the Honor Flight. We call it a family. We, the hubs in Wisconsin, work really well with each other, not only on fundraising, veteran recruitment, but taking care of our veterans on flight day. And we've done vice versa with Stars and Stripes too, where we've taken one of theirs because they didn't have room, but we wanted to get the veteran to D.C.
When I've talked to veterans that have been on this before, a lot of times, obviously, they're humble oftentimes, and they always tell me they drug their feet about it, but they're so glad they went. Is that kind of a common theme?
Yes. It is a very humble group of men and women. Some of them, not everybody went to Vietnam. Some went to Europe. Some stayed stateside to do training, or that's where their duty stations were because that's where the military needed you. And so if you've put the uniform on, we want to honor you. And that's what it's all about. And they're just, that's what's so great about it. And one of the interesting things we're starting to see about it is you're starting to see a lot of the VFW post or American Legion post and vets, or even reserve or guard units that serve together. They're doing these, they're signing up to go together. And I've been told by one of them, it was a mini reunion for us, for my reserve unit from the Vietnam era. They didn't go anywhere other than maybe Fort McCoy, but they still served, and they're going together on a Badger Honor Flight trip. That, I think, is one of the coolest things that's starting to happen.
Can you fill us in on about how much it costs to send these veterans, how much money you need to raise per veteran?
Our trips cost right now $135,000. I will tell you that a great majority of that is the plane cost. And so our goal is to take about 90 veterans on a trip, which equates to $1,500 is what it costs to send a veteran on a trip to Washington, D.C. So we need to raise $135,000 to do each one of these trips.
People can donate all the time right on your website, can't they?
Yes, they can. We have a donate page, and it is, you can just donate in general. You can donate in memoriam of someone that in honor of them. That's a great way. Or another great way is go to our website or our Facebook post. We have several events that are coming up. Go out there and support those organizations that are supporting us. And let's just pay it forward.
When the veterans go to D.C. too, things, food and everything else is provided. Are those donations as well?
No, that's all part of our $135,000 cost. However, we do have sponsorship opportunities to pay for each of those, like the food or the beverage in D.C. We've created, so it brings to a recognition to those folks or organizations that are stepping up and assisting us.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and we'd like to do some broadcasts maybe after the fact, maybe get some of these veterans on and share their experiences. Brian, thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you for the time today, and thanks for everything you do to help continue to get the message out there about Badger Honor Flight. We greatly appreciate it.
Brian Ziegler, chairperson of the board for Badger Honor Flight of Wisconsin, joining us here on WRCO's Morning Show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must, and Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
For a great meal, dine at Arthur's Supper Club in Spring Green. Enjoy the classic Wisconsin fish fry on Fridays. Saturdays at Arthur's showcase the amazing prime rib. Watch the game on one of the big screens on Sunday at Arthur's and get in on the football specials. Or visit the drive-thru Tuesday through Sunday from 4:30 until 9. Arthur's, your place for steaks and seafood.
Many Americans have missed regular dental care in the past few years. It's important to see a dentist twice a year to identify any problems early. Taking care of your oral health helps overall health. Brushing at least twice a day with fluoride toothpaste and flossing daily can help prevent oral health problems. For more information, visit hrsa.gov/oral-health.
I'm Naheem Hines, proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom has muscular dystrophy, and the MDA helps her and kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. And MDA funds over 150 care centers for kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related neuromuscular diseases. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Recently, Riverdale Education Foundation gave out money to its recipients in the district and helping with different things, different items, the purchase of some things for classrooms and whatnot. And prior to the program, Riverdale Administrator Jeff Campbell talked about the organization.
Support these fundraisers whether you receive an award or not. Even a donation to this organization, it's all volunteer time that they put in. Without their support for the past 18 years, there would be a significant decline in the learning environment for all of our Riverdale students. Education is definitely the cornerstone of our community, and the awards we recognize this afternoon are a testament to the hard work, perseverance, and passion that define Riverdale. And as we honor these individuals, let us acknowledge the collective effort that makes such success possible.
Jeff Campbell then turned the microphone over to Riverdale Community Education Foundation President Greg Kinney.
On behalf of the Riverdale Community Education Foundation, I'd like to thank you all for coming to our award ceremony today. This is our 16th year of giving out disbursements to the teachers and staff. We've been in an organization for 18, but it took a couple years for us to get going. So this year we'll be giving back $13,784 to 24 different award winners in the regular category. We will be giving out $2,900 to two winners in the Stanley Havlick category. We also have a new category that we added this past year, and that's called the Riverdale Education Enhancement Award. This award is about giving students opportunities that maybe they would never get in life or never get to experience in life. That amount is $2,260. So our total for this year is $18,944. We broke our record from last year. And our new grand total is $150,480 since we've been in existence. Our organization is truly grateful to everyone who has donated to us this past year. We had many donations from individuals and organizations that really do appreciate what we are trying to do for the teachers and students at Riverdale. And without them, this doesn't happen.
Greg Kinney then went on to hand out awards and make announcements of those who would be recipients for the upcoming 2025-26 school year. I had the chance to chat with some of those recipients following the program at Riverdale.
Anya Drone is one of the recipients here today. Tell me about the new 4K classroom that you're very excited about, I know.
I am very excited. For the first time in 25 years, but who's counting, I will have a teammate that we're going to add and have just an extra person to help teach all of the kids, share the load, that kind of thing. But we knew we needed to update the classroom, and so the foundation has gotten us some funds so we can do that before that person is ready to get started. So,
can you give us an example of some of the things that you'll be adding to the classroom?
Anything such as, you know, just equipment around the room or furniture. Everything seems to cost so much more these days. And to have the foundation support where, you know, if you looked in a catalog to buy, especially something for kiddos, if it's sturdy enough or durable, it costs just more than you would think. So for them to be able to purchase, you know, a bookcase or a seating arrangement for our reading space, tables, manipulative toys, anything like that just would add up very quickly. So, yeah, an $800 stipend will be a lovely little addition for our new room. So.
And you went up there a couple of times. The foundation, comes through quite a bit. And a lot of the applications that go in come back, don't they?
They have. I've felt this love all the way through. I have had the foundation's children and grandchildren. And so they very much support me in my adventures. And so this year I have a few things in the classroom that have stood the test of time but now need to be replaced. And they will stop in from time to time when we invite them, or they love when we will send pictures out to the foundation and just see the kids enjoying the items that they've purchased for us. I am not a golfer or a bowler, but I do participate in the Winter Carnival every year, and it is such a fun adventure where it's all within our beautiful building. The foundation has made up some of the coolest little carnival games, and the kids get to come and for a nominal fee. The food's a small amount, bouncy houses are a small amount, but otherwise they can come and just play these fun free games for a nice, usually cold winter day, and just hang out, and they're nice and tired when they go home, and parents have them fed, and they can probably take a nap.
Yeah. Well, it's a unique organization because all the money comes right back here to the school. And you, as educators, it's hard to do. You couldn't probably do your job if you didn't have outside help, right?
Absolutely. Especially, I can't imagine for a school, as you know, your own personal budget at home. You know how far it just doesn't go at the grocery store anymore. And so for a school to think, okay, we have to buy paper, we have to buy all the basic necessities, there just isn't anything left for anything extra like that. But we don't want our school to be like that. We want it to have, you know, the latest and greatest and all the ways that we can reach all of our students, and the foundation just provides us with that.
Great. Well, congratulations on the awards here today.
Thank you very much.
You bet. That's Anya Drone joining us here from Riverdale Schools. Jesse Kinney next to join us here. Jesse, tell us a little bit about what you were focused on and what the money that you receive from the foundation is going to go to.
So it's been a two-year process. Last year I kind of did something similar, and we've been working on changing the furniture, which is expensive, in the classroom. The kids are in desks, they're in chairs, seated at tables all day. We have been able to implement some of like office comfy chairs, a futon, a coffee table, some phone chargers. So it's kind of like a spot where they can just come and they can still get stuff done, but it's almost like modeling after their house. So it's a little bit, we try to dim the lights, have different lighting options and things like that, just to take a little bit of the abrasive day away from them.
Mm-hmm. So a chill spot, I've heard other districts doing this as well. It's a good tool, I think, to have, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I only see a certain clientele in my building usually, and this has kind of opened the door for me to build some more relationships with different kids, because you know, when there's passing periods or there's, you know, a homeroom, our times where they can really kind of wander and have some downtime, I now have a few more kids that I wouldn't normally work with that I can build some more relationships with, and it just is a more welcoming and comfortable, safe environment.
I know you're also a part of the Athletes in FIAD classes Reach Higher Achieve. What can you tell us about that?
So this is really cool. This is also our second year of this, and we are so lucky, and we are working with Brian Bott from Sports Advantage. He's got a lot of facilities and does a lot of programming, and we are able to offer our students in our little school the same programming they would see if they were at a training facility in Madison or Oconomowoc or anything like that. So Brian has worked with us to, you know, come in and check out our weight room, look at our facilities, see what we would need to be able to implement some vertical training, speed and agility, strength, all of those things, so that these kids that are really wanting to put the time in and take their game, their fitness, and all of these things to the next level, be it in FIAD class or through their sports, they have these things available now.
I think about how the weight room has grown and expanded here at Riverdale over the years. You've got some pretty amazing stuff in there now, don't you?
Yeah, we are so lucky, and it's, you don't always realize it until you talk to some other schools and even some bigger schools, and we go over things or show what we're doing, and they're like, how are you doing that? And it's like, you know, we're really lucky. Like, we have great staff that are able to implement things. We have great contacts, connections, and then we have all the support from the foundation that has allowed us to really supplement the weight room. We had a great facility back in the day when we had the grants. That was years ago at this point, but now, you know, things get worn, things get torn down, and now we have been able to thankfully add in more band training, resistance training, and a lot of just things to make things safer when they're doing things, and our injuries have also gone down with the kids being more active in the weight room because of it.
And the weight room is something you use the whole year, not just during the school year, right?
Absolutely. We have the sports teams are in there. FIAD is in there regularly. They have a really great thing set up that they run on a schedule. And then we also have our summer lifting where our kids are in there at 6 a.m. group and 8 a.m. group 4 days a week for the goal is 80% of the summer. And that I think has really, we've seen a lot of really great vertical growth and then the cutting down of time, speed and agility and just strength and power. So it takes a little while for it to buy in and for it to roll over, but it's been something that I think is obviously the most visited room daily in our building now.
And the foundation does a lot for the school. I mean, it's amazing the amount of money that goes back.
Oh, absolutely. It is a lot of work. I mean, I've been here, I've seen these guys at carnivals and they are exhausted. I'm exhausted. I mean, but it's first, we're raising money and doing these things with things that kids love at this carnival, and then the golf outing is a great adult event. But I'm just, the money that comes back, and it truly is, I know Greg mentioned during our awards that see the kids' faces, and they know, and the money would never be there in our budgets. The day and age that we're in right now, we just have to survive to get the things that are daily needs. I would never have the classroom setup I have right now, and our weight room would definitely not have half of the things that we've put in it in the last 2 years with even multiple clubs and the R Club and boosters. We couldn't pay for anything without the foundation.
Jesse Kinney, thanks for talking with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Gail Butteris is joining us, and Gail put in for a stipend here from the Riverdale Community Foundation and was a winner of the Stanek Havlik Awards 2025. Gail, tell us a little bit about what you put in, what you were requesting from the foundation.
I'm requesting books that are called high-low books for those students that are a little older that can't read as well, to give them the opportunity to be able to read a book and not be embarrassed at what level they're at.
Okay. So how does it work? Are there books in the library that they can kind of check out themselves?
So these are going to be books that are going to be set aside in a separate library than from the school library, so we can kind of see who's checking out what, and they're going to be open for any grade level for all students.
Reading is so important, isn't it?
It is. I very much agree. It's a foundational skill that everybody needs.
How long have you been a member of the staff here at Riverdale?
This is my 9th year here.
Okay. And through that time, you're seeing a lot of changes in education, aren't you?
Yeah, I was in education before I came here, and it's changing over time, and reading is one thing that hasn't changed that all kids need.
Uh-huh. Are they going back to more basics, in terms of less electronics and more books in hands and things like that?
Some kids do really well when they read online. Some kids do really well when they listen to it and follow along. And other kids still do really well with reading the actual book in hand. It's not something that's ever going to go away. Everybody needs to read. But as far as it changing, we try to make a good balance of technology and hands-on.
As far as down the road, are some other things that you're going to put in maybe in the future that you can see, that some other needs that you would have for the classroom?
You never know. There's always different things that come up and that we see that the kids need, and this is a great opportunity to try to get that for them.
More books, so they'll be in place for the next school year then, is that correct?
They will. We will get them ordered right away, and then we'll get a system in place, and the kids can start checking them out in the fall.
Great. Thanks for talking with us. Congratulations on the award.
Thank you.
You bet. Gail Butteris joining us from Riverdale Schools. Sherry Wilkinson joins us. Math enrichment and fun is the subject. Tell us about the award that you got here today.
Yeah, so my job at Riverdale, I'm the math specialist, and I get to work in small groups with kids on math skills, but one of my big goals for the district is to find a way to make math fun for kids. A lot of kids will develop, for whatever reason, some anxiety about math or lack of confidence. And so one thing I try to do is have like a special in, I guess you could say, with each grade level, starting in 4K all the way up through grade 6. Something special that I do on a regular basis with each grade level to try and get them excited about math and give them opportunities to work with math in a fun setting.
I think that we all have anxiety. I do about math. Maybe you don't, but I always did. I remember that growing up. And when you look at it, it comes easy for some students, and it comes hard for other students.
Yeah, I think one of the quotes that I've heard since taking on this new position here that I really love and I try to fall back on is math is figure outable. Okay, so like we talk about the skills that we want to teach our kids for lifelong. one of the things is just like problem solving in general, and like even if something is hard or challenging, what skills do you have to figure things out? And what we know about math is all math is figure outable. So whether you think you're good at numbers or think you're good at math, we can work together and use skills that we have in our toolbox to figure it out.
I'm sure like reading, we talked about reading a little bit, but they're all levels of students in the same grade sometimes in their abilities, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think what's really cool about math is that you have kids who, you know, maybe they viewed themselves as not very strong at math, or, you know, however they've come to identify that way. They might bring a different skill set to like a group task, or, you know, a lot of teachers try to get kids in groups working on problem solving, and the skills that maybe someone who isn't the top math student in the class, they might bring something different. So it takes all levels of math skills to get the job done.
What kind of math do they teach in 4K?
So this has been really fun for me this year. This is kind of the first year that I've branched down into the 4K level, and like kids come with such a love for learning, and what we've been working with them this year on a special like program, I guess you'd call it. It's called Number Blocks, and it's these actual characters. Each number is its own character with that amount of blocks, and there's tons of resources out there, but it's something really concrete that kids can relate to, and there's shows that go along with it. So after we do an activity and learn about the next number, they get to kind of watch a fun show and play a game with those characters.
Yeah, it's fun, and I mean, I think that's the way it should be for all levels, because you have fun, and then all of a sudden, by accident, you learn something, right?
Yeah, and they might not know it yet, but they are learning, and they're having fun, and they'll see me in the hallway. That's been the other great thing about this position is I don't work with 4K students. I don't, you know, work with them in a math group, but by the time, you know, a couple months into the school year, they see me in the hallway and they're like, there's Mrs. Wilkinson, the number block lady. And then, you know, all of a sudden with four-year-olds, I'm having conversations in the hallway. When are you going to come in and do number six? And it just creates like an opportunity to have math conversations even outside of the classroom, in the hallway or recess or wherever that is.
It seems like maybe Sesame Street had it right all those years ago. Today, where, you know, today's number is number five, number six.
Yeah, and I think it's always just the next thing, right? And if we can stay on top of it and try to meet kids in their world and bring, you know, we know the best things about math and numbers to teach them, but they know the best things about, like, characters on the TV shows and whoever it may be. So if we can find a way to connect with them on that level, it makes it more meaningful.
Anything else you'd like to add about the foundation here at Riverdale?
No, I think people have said it over and over, but we're so fortunate to have this group of people, and especially in today's world when districts are, you know, having to get more creative with their financing, and we want to be able to provide kids with all the same opportunities that they've had, and sometimes that comes down to money. And so we're really thankful and appreciative that we have a group of retired teachers, community members, people that really invest in our school and believe that we're doing good things and trust us with that little extra money to make learning fun for the kids.
Great. Good to see you again.
Yeah. Thanks, yes. Bill.
Sherry Wilkinson joining us on this report. Callie Coe is here, and her ag classroom will be benefiting from the Riverdale Foundation and their recent grant. Callie, tell us about what you're going to use the money for.
We got a grant to get some stainless steel tables and some high stools for the classroom. I already have about half my classroom in stainless steel tables, and I kind of just experimented with the idea. It turns out I really like it for food science, dissections, you name it. It's really, they're easy to clean, they're easy to maintain, and they work really well for what we're doing in my room. So I kind of decided I think I want more, and I was fortunate enough to receive a grant today to make that happen.
That's awesome. So they're tables that can be used for everything, right?
Right. Yep, exactly. Every day, every kid's going to sit there or stand there, you know, whatever. That's the other nice thing I kind of like about the stools and the higher top table option is that, you know, for labs and stuff, we can be standing, we can be moving, you know, planting plants even on them and stuff like that. It's something different all the time, and it's going to be an everyday use for us.
You've utilized monies from the foundation over the years quite well, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate to receive some awesome grants for things. A paint booth being one of them last year to paint our restoration tractors, which we're set to use here in like probably the next week, actually, for the first time. We were just talking about it. Really looking forward to using that. Yeah, I've received grants for other various things in the past as well, and we're always so fortunate to benefit from this group. This year we're restoring a tractor for a student's family, and we did that last year actually too. I usually ask the kids in the class if they're interested in bringing anything in for us to use, and then, you know, instead of the FFA or whatever paying for the bill, it's that family's responsibility to pay for the paint and stuff like that, but then they get a nice project out of it they get to take home and enjoy for hopefully the rest of their lives. I mean, and I think that's what this tractor will also be, but there's two ways to do it. The first year we bought a tractor and did it that way. But I also I really enjoy the pride they take in doing something for themselves versus something we're going to raffle off. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they work so hard on something that was their grandpa's or their dad's. And it's just amazing the kind of time and energy they'll take to make it look good so that they can, you know, take it home to their family.
Do you have some FFA students headed toward more competition or the Nationals or anything going on this year?
Yep. I had a group just compete at State Wildlife last Friday. They were 7th overall, which is really respectable finish, with Henry Drone, Anya's son, being 6th overall individually. So they did really well. We have state convention coming up, and we'll have 5 state degrees there. We had 5 gold proficiency winners, but one of them will walk across the stage as a top 5 state finalist, and that's Jordan Baumkamp. We don't know how he placed in the top 5 yet, but we know he will be representing us there. And then also I hope to have an announcement that we'll have some American degrees coming, and that'll be the first since 1999.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
Congratulations. And your program received some recognition this year too, didn't it?
Yep. We won the Section 4 Outstanding Middle School and High School, or Middle School and Secondary Programs is what it's worded. And right now we are in the running for, so we'd be, you know, there's 10 sections, and if we won our section, we're one of the top 10 programs in the state of Wisconsin this year, which is pretty cool. And then we'll find out in June if we win that and, you know, potentially move on to Nationals.
Awesome. So do you have to have people watching your farm and your crops over the summertime, or how does that work?
For the school farm? Yeah. So I actually have some managers, two of them which are graduating, and we are electing new ones where we're going to recognize them at banquet here coming up Wednesday. We have 2 school farm managers and a forest manager that handle things out there in terms of like mowing, helping put in posts for recognition for like our hybrids that are out there for our test plot. They also just do all kinds of other maintenance that needs to get done during the year. Including like, you know, potentially fence off our sweet corn patch and stuff like that. We also have some chickens out there, so we have a coop manager. They handle a lot for us during the summer. We get plenty of eggs on hand now, which was another donation I got from this this group. We got money towards a chicken coop 2 years ago, and that is paying off like by the dozens right now. Yeah. And also, you know, at $6 a dozen or whatever, we're saving money left and right. So
I'm guessing you are. Yeah. So you've really benefited over the years from the foundation. I mean, groups like yours and classrooms, and you really couldn't do it if you didn't have a group like this, could you?
No, and they're so amazing. Like I kind of mentioned to these guys, like there's probably, I'm guessing, 50% of the staff got something today. And that's impressive that they're able to support us in that way. They've been awesome to work with. Not only do they support us monetarily, but, you know, they're there for us throughout the year as well. We see them at events. They're supporting our kids. We try to, in turn, support them at their events and make sure that we show up to foundation fundraisers and encourage others to do so as well.
Congratulations on the award and a very successful school year, Callie.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Callie Coe here on WRCO. President of the Riverdale Community Foundation, Greg Kinney, joins us. Greg, after the program today, any thoughts on today's award winners?
Just a wide variety again. We're lucky that so many different teachers will take the time and effort to give us applications. And so we, you know, it's interesting to see where they're coming from. Sometimes we have to ask the teachers on our board, okay, you know, I'm a farmer, explain this to me, how this is working or what the benefits are. And so we're very lucky that we have those kind of people on our board, and you know, they will explain it in teachers' terms, and so it makes the rest of us on the board understand then. And but there is such a wide variety, and we're very happy to be able to do that, because when we started out, we, you know, we weren't really sure where this would build to, and now we're at a point where we're all pretty comfortable. There are a lot of different ways to teach nowadays compared to what even 10, 15 years ago. And so these teachers seem to grasp that, and they're looking for new ways, whether some of it is wobble chairs or stuff like that, you know, that nobody would have ever heard of, you know, 15 years ago. And so we're lucky that we're able to be able to do that. And at the end of the day today, we're always very happy because we see the gratitude that the teachers have, and they very much appreciate, you know, and it's a pretty nice sum of money that we're giving away every year.
Well, some unique things, but I think this year maybe more practical. I mean, in this day and age, tables and chairs and things like that, just things that you just can't snap your fingers and create in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like Callie Cole in the egg room got one of the bigger awards, but, you know, her dissection classes, and she has such a large volume of students going through those classrooms, and they got new ones when they expanded the egg room, and yet now she's needed more. And so, yeah, it's not flashy, but very practical for her and everything that she does. I mean, the ag program here at Riverdale is amazing. They do so many things and include so many of the elementary students. They bring in animals, all different kinds of species, and they get to go to the ag room and take trips over there. And she just does a wonderful job, and I hope that they get voted the number one ag program in the state, because she definitely deserves it. But they have so much stuff going on with the greenhouse and the school farm, but they really enjoy complimenting and encouraging the young students that go to school in Riverdale to come to the egg room and get to see all the different stuff, and so that's awesome.
Also outfitting the 4K classroom, you know, new room there. You got to feel good about that.
Yeah, you know, they sent the application in. Actually, the principal did from this building, and they already know what Anya has, you know, had in her 4K classroom for years to go. And so they kind of, the new teacher, when that person is hired, will get to have some say in it as well. And Anya will help her, and I'm sure the administration staff will help. And so they'll get to pick out some things that will make the two classrooms correlate back and forth. And so, yeah, we're happy to be able to help with some of that kind of stuff, because when they get there, they're going to hit the ground running and be ready to go for the school year. So,
next up for your fundraisers will be the big golf outing, and time goes by pretty fast, so people start to need to be looking at that date too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I've already had several people, they start telling me back in March, like, okay, don't forget us, you know, and get us down. So I have a list going already at home, and we're able to take like 22 teams, and we never have a problem filling up lately here. And we actually had to turn away a couple teams because we had card issues. And but last year we were able to fill all the teams that wanted to play. There's always a wedding or somebody has an anniversary party or something, you know. And so once in a while a team will have to drop out for a year, but then they always say, well, make sure you put us back in next year. And so you really do try and hope you can accommodate everybody. It's not fun to call them and say, I'm sorry, we don't have room. But yeah, it's a big event for us. Hickory Grove Golf Course does an amazing job of helping us work through it all. And people do have a good time. It's not about being a professional golfer. We don't give out any awards. There's no first place trophy or anything. It's just about coming, having fun. You know, if you got one person that can drive the ball, everybody can putt. So, you know, you just got to get to the green. And it's a really fun event. It's a long day, but it's an awesome day when we're all done, that's for sure.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears goes into raising the money. I know. I feel really fortunate that I think I was at like 3 or 4 of your concession stands this year. Yeah. So I hit it right when I was here at Riverdale.
Yeah, we do. We always have the homemade baked goods at our concession stands. And so people, they kind of look at the calendar. They know when the foundation is up to run a food stand. And so we'll have people come up right away. It's like, oh, we looked at the calendar. We know. So there might not be any of this stuff left, so they'll take it with them before the event ever starts. And so our people are really good about making a wide variety of stuff, and we're happy to be able to do that. And we make a fair good amount of money at it. So
you mentioned that board members are also alumni here too, so it's not hard to get them fired up to try and work for the school, I'm sure.
No, they've all had kids. Their kids have gone through, and now their grandkids are going through. And so almost all of us, you know, are from here. And so it really does do us, our hearts get warmed up when we start to see the good things that are happening. And you know, whether you see it on their Facebook page, you know, accolades for the forensics team or the one-act plays, I mean, it's all Riverdale. So everybody is happy when people have success, and I think that's a big part of why it makes Riverdale so good.
Well, this is kind of the day to celebrate, right? I mean, you work hard all year, but this is kind of the day where it all kind of comes to fruition, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. I mean, you know, the fact that we gave $18,944 this year, you know, today, for the awards that we gave out. And really, when I look at the number of 150,480, that even boggles my mind a little bit, that we have actually gave that amount of money in the 15 plus years we've been in existence. So it's pretty amazing. But the last few years, we've kind of been on a roll. We've been in that 16 to 18 19,000, and but we work really hard to raise the money, and we have generous donations throughout the year. And people, you know, days like today, people will hear about it. It'll be in the paper, and obviously on WRCO, you guys are tremendous supporting us. And so we're really happy. This is kind of the culmination for our year, and we'll take a little bit of a break here and then fire up for the golf in the fall, and then we go roll right into the school year next fall. So
the school years go by pretty quickly, don't they?
They sure do, yeah. Some of the teachers say, you know, I intended to use this award at the beginning of the year, and then things started to slip by, and so they'll call us, and it's like, nope, the money is still there. So you just use it before the end of the school year, and if you somehow make it happen, and they usually do, and so it works out well. So,
well, thanks for all you do, Greg, and congratulations on another good year.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, Phil, for everything WRCO does. I said, you guys support us terrifically, and I said, we couldn't do it without you guys, that's for sure.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you very much. Greg Kinney joining us here at Riverdale Schools on WRCO.
C.S. Lewis said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. This is Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to savor the moments you have with family and friends, leaving you with few regrets in the end. And when the time comes to celebrate a life well lived, we will be ready to support and serve you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
We have a full week of guests during our morning show get-togethers this week, rounding out the month of May. How can that be? Join us again tomorrow for some information about utilities in Richland Center and some other topics coming up. Also, the parade in Richland Center is set to step off in just a few minutes, getting ready to begin. And they'll be culminating at the cemetery for the program that begins at 10:45 today. And we'll have highlights of that during our news at noon today. Phil Neopen, you have a great Memorial Day on this Monday, May 26th, and enjoy the weather. Currently, it is 65 degrees.
This message is brought to you by the local Wisconsin group, Economic Equity Now. The Republicans' budget bill is on the verge of becoming law. This bill contains the largest cuts in Medicaid in U.S. history. The folks who are going to lose health care coverage in this bill are not the ones wasting it or committing fraud or abusing it. It will be your neighbors, your friends, your family, maybe even you. The effects on the rural America will be the closing of rural hospitals, nursing homes, and elder care facilities. This is all being done so mammoth tax cuts can be given to millionaires and billionaires. Ask yourself if this is what you voted for last November. Representative Van Orden has already voted for this bill. So in Wisconsin, the decision is now in Senator Ron Johnson's hands. Contact him and let him know that Wisconsinites protect and stand up for one another. Ask him if he really thinks this bill is good for Wisconsin. This message is brought to you by the local Wisconsin group, Economic Equity Now.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Choice for better health.
Learn how to
recognize suicide tendencies. Join us for Safe Talk, a free 4-hour class that teaches you how to create a life-saving connection. RSVP to save your spot on June 18th at the Richland Hospital and Clinics from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lunch will be provided. Sign up online at richlandhospital.com.
Hillsboro Equipment sells outdoor power equipment, services outdoor power equipment, and takes care of the people who depend on their outdoor power equipment. With an 11,000 square foot shop, over $1 million in parts, and multiple trained technicians, Hillsboro Equipment will get you tuned up and ready to go. From the combines in the field to the lawnmower and chainsaw in your yard, they service it all, any make, any model. See the service experts at Hillsboro Equipment or call 489-2275.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston from New York. We've just learned that Charlie Rangel, longtime congressman from Harlem, has died. He was 94 years old. More details are coming in about the brazen jailbreak in New Orleans more than a week ago. ABC's Trevor Ault in New Orleans.
Surveillance footage shows some of the 10 men who escaped shoving open a door to the jail loading dock. CNN now reporting the inmates used hair clippers and multiple blades to break through their cell walls. Five inmates are